next thing that happened here was after, long after the Tejas became nonconforming, the city council adopted a two-step amortization procedure, or they call it a compliance procedure. In effect, they retrofitted this into their zoning ordinance. And the two steps were that you first had to determine if there was an adverse effect on nearby properties. That's a board of adjustment case. And if there is or was, then in that case, the board was to proceed to make a compliance state. And almost immediately after that ordinance was adopted, the city council referred five properties to the board of adjustment. In other words, the city council referred them over to the board of adjustment. And in the case of the Tejas Motel, the owner and I guess the staff reached at the very first hearing, they decided that we're going to have an agreed order. They signed it, giving the Tejas 8 months to come into compliance. And that was entered into the record, and that disposed of the case locally. There was no writ of certiorari asked for. In other words, no appeal to the courts from that order. It was an agreed order. Why would one? But some 3 months later, the owner came in and did file, trying to get a writ of certiorari, and he was claiming violations of the Open Meetings Act and takings and that sort of thing. And here's what happened in the case. Court of Appeals ruled that he had failed to exhaust his administrative remedies by not appealing within the 10-day period set by the state law. And they dismissed all of his claims, including the claim for certiorari, the Open Meetings Act claim, and the takings claim. In other words, the failure to exhaust administrative remedies didn't just take out a direct appeal on the zoning issues. It took out all of the collateral claims that the owner had tried to make. There were some federal claims in the case that the court disposed of, not by exhaustion of administrative remedies, but by pointing out that the owner had no vested interest in a nonconforming use. No reasonable investment-backed expectations in continuing that use. This is a very strong endorsement of Texas nonconforming use doctrine that has gone back many years. It's not always followed these days. We'll see that coming up in the Zatari case later on. But this is a strong endorsement of prior nonconforming abatement and compliance rules like we see in the Tejas Motel case. Next case we want to talk about, it's mentioned on page 2 of the paper, is City of Dickinson versus. This arose on Dickinson Bio, which is a tidal bio down south of Houston, between Houston and Galveston. You can see Dickinson Bio there off on the right-hand side of your screen. Far downstream is Galveston Bay. This is a beautiful piece of property. The owner bought it, 6.75 acres, back in 1999. It's a residential area, but he started, or claims he started, operating a computer business from his home back then. And then pretty quickly, things started to happen in the land use world. In the next year, he said he let a church group hold Christmas party on his property. In the next year, 2001, the city adopted zoning. I believe that was their first ordinance in Dickinson, first zoning ordinance. And then the next year, the owner registered as a nonconforming use. This was allowed by the ordinance that Dickinson adopted. And he claimed that he had a business in multifamily use. Most importantly, there's a second step that was not followed. The city is supposed to issue what's called a certificate of occupancy nonconforming when you get a registered nonconforming use. And apparently he didn't get that back in 2002. 15 years later, Stefan started on a pavilion on his property, building a big building, no permit. And there was a complaint from the neighbors. And apparently the building official went out there and there was a discussion about certificate of occupancy nonconforming that hadn't been issued. And the building official refused to issue it in 2017. Here's a shot that shows what I think is the pavilion. It's that big white slab looking area there on the side of his property, close to his neighbor's property. That may have been where the complaint came from. The owner at that point applied for a special use permit or specific use permit from the city council, trying to get his use recognized by an amendment to the ordinance in effect, and then withdrew it And then he decided he was going to appeal the billing official's decision to the Board of Adjustment. And the Board of Adjustment issued an order denying the appeal. And the owner, very quick on this, he filed suit 2 days later. His problem was how he framed his lawsuit. He claimed that he was grandfathered, but he didn't mention Chapter 245 of the Local Government Code, which is the vested rights statute. He claimed that there were takings. He wanted a declaratory judgment. He wanted injunctions. He wanted attorney's fees. But he didn't ask for a writ of certiorari. That's the direct appeal allowed by the Zoning Enabling Act. You go directly from the Board of Adjustment into the court by filing an application for writ of certiorari. Do that. And the city filed a motion to dismiss, and the owner stood on his pleadings.